Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 23. This message here will probably be another one of these. It's already growing, so I had a message and then I went all the way back. And so I've got stuff scribbled everywhere. So anyway, because of the word that was given to us is, what are we dedicated to? That's what we have with Rosh Kodesh and what we have for this month. And Bill's message last week was an awesome word that he gave us in this community about also dedication, also about being courageous, also about now's time to stand up. The lines have been drawn in the sand. It's really been drawn for a long time. I think that there again, I really appreciated Bill Cloud's message for this reason. Before the election happened for the presidency, which is almost 2 years ago now, and where he was then and what was going on, now having a more clear understanding what the Father's doing in our lives. And I just believe this, we've been saying this, but I do believe this. The Father, because the Word backs this up, in this, because He's the one that raises kings and He takes them down. He raised Nebuchadnezzar and He raised Cyrus. He raised them in a period of time. He raised the Pharaohs. He allowed these men to be in control. He also put Joseph there. We're going through that through our Torah portions. He's also put Daniel in the lives of Nebuchadnezzar. He's also changed the lives of these kings who were pagan kings to turn around and make decrees to saying that the Elohim of Daniel is Elohim. You know what I'm saying? He even changed their hearts to where even they were considered idols. That they even, destroyed them and said, this is the way it's going to be. And so we can see the power of Yahweh and what He does. And it is a time to where I believe that where we're at in this history, the Father is exposing everything. He's exposing everything. He's been exposing it in the church as a whole. But He's exposing it now in governments. He exposes everything before you can have a one world setup. It's been trying. It's been set up for many years. We know that. But what I'm talking about the exposing is if you don't believe now in this day that there is a two-tier system of justice, we're in trouble. There is a set of justice for me, and there is a set of justice for them in Washington, D.C. That is just the way it is. They can do things, and they can get sanctioned, maybe. They can do whatever they're doing. They can kill people, whatever happens. And I'm talking about from this thing about Saudi Arabia with the reporters, with whatever happens, and, that was a bad thing that happened, but. I mean, you hear this all the time. That was a sad thing, but. Well, you know what? I know if I was up there in Lucedale Courthouse, ain't nobody going to say that about me. Oh, it's a sad thing, but you're going to jail. You know what I'm saying? That's just the way it is. It's just there's two sets of rules, and the Father is exposing that in a huge way. And the only reason why I can say that is not prophesying. It's just opening my eyes to see what's happening in this system. I think a lot of us probably have known that, and it's just the reality of what's happening today. So with that said, I wanted to use Samuel and Saul to demonstrate what I'm telling you and what's going on today, because if Yahweh says, I change not, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever, then guess what? What's going on in the United States today is nothing new. It's nothing new. All governments through kingdoms, through these periods, go through this. They have these situations to where you may have a good king or you may have a bad king. We've read Samuel, you read Kings, you read Chronicles, and you'll see all of this happening. It's just a lot of times we don't spend a lot of time there. But in this setting here, I just want to use some of the scriptures to show what's going on today of what Brother Bill was talking about with us last week. I always pray that when he comes here, I want to hear the voice in the voice. Because it's so funny. Honestly, when he comes here, 99% of the time, and I'm not going to say 100, but I almost would, that he'll sit there and he'll say, like he did last week, I get the message right there. I'll come down here wanting and knowing I want to say something. But it always changes. It gets right there, and he always says, I feel like I'm rambling. He's not rambling. I understand and I can hear loudly and clearly what he's saying, because it is for us here at River of Life. And the thing is he goes so many different places and he sees so many different things, but he loves you guys. When he comes here, he feels pumped up. When he leaves here, he feels energetic. He feels like he can go on because he sees that there's hope. As much as he sees out there the bickering and all of the divisions that's out there, he pulls strength from you guys. And I just want to let you know that that's what he's told us. Okay, so he just loves to see people walking out the Torah. Okay, so 23:8. I want to start off with this. This is one of the commandments. Let me start in verse 6. It says, now I'm in the ESV. It says, you shall not pervert what? Justice. Can I say that justice is being perverted today? The Torah tells us, you shall not pervert justice due to your poor in his lawsuit. Keep far from the false charge. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not acquit the wicked. And you shall take no what? Bribe. You shall take no bribe, because this is the reason why. For a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. I want that to sink in just a moment as we're going to 1 Samuel chapter 8. Now, as you're going to 1 Samuel chapter 8, I'm going to read this again. And you shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the clear-sighted and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Once you take a bribe, you take money, you take whatever, then that person owns you. And then when a person comes to you with a just cause, and all of a sudden the person you took money from, and he's involved in this situation, you ain't clear-sighted no more. Because now this person owns you, and because you've taken a bribe, if you are in a place of where you're going to put out justice or you're going to render a verdict in something, now you are exposed. So guess what? You just go in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Our whole system is eat up with that. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1. It says, when Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Okay, so Samuel, we know he's a prophet. He was a very godly man. We know that he trusted the Father trusted him ever since he was a young lad. But when he became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. I don't know how old they were when they became judges, but they were judges for a period of time for this accusation to be made. And it says the name of the firstborn was Yoel, and the second one was Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba, yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but they did what? They turned aside after gain. What did they do? They took bribes and did what? Perverted justice. Here is Samuel's sons. Tammy, I want you, if you would, you have a mic, go to Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19. Now, while you're going there, now I don't know, but I will tell you this, for this reason, while she's going there, because of this reason, and we read this at Rosh Kodesh that night, for this reason, this is why they wanted a king to be appointed to judge them like all the other nations. Was because now they're sitting here with these two sons. So evidently these two sons had operated as being judges for a period of time for them to be known to take bribes. And their heart was after, you know, making themselves, padding their pockets and making themselves wealthy through the system. Now, I cannot answer this question. I don't know why Samuel didn't rebuke them and set them down. We understand the situation with Eli. Remember Eli and his boys? And the thing about it is, he wouldn't deal with his sons, and Yahweh destroyed them, and then Eli, when he heard it, he fell off and broke his neck and killed him. The father's not going to have violations to his Torah, And so you see in the Torah, read in Exodus, where you're not to take bribes because it perverts justice. Here we have sons doing that. The people as a whole of Israel evidently were pretty fragile because judges were ruling over them because Yahweh was their king. But when you have people perverting justice, you're having people that don't even really, their trust in the Torah starts to wane. Where is justice at? And this is what's happening into our land today of where we're at. Because I will tell you, you tell me if I'm wrong. There's not a lot of people that trust a lot of people. Because if you can't get news media to tell you the truth, it's just hard. It's tight, but it's right. Okay, I'm just telling you something. Because if you can't trust somebody to tell you something and that it's true, because we have to act on what's true. If we're going to act on a lie, then it's going to drag us into a ditch. This is why I believe now we need discernment more than ever in the body of Messiah. We need discernment. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating, and we need the Isaiah 11, 1 and 2, the seven spirits of the Holy Spirit operating in the body of Messiah. Because the body of Messiah is hurting as a whole. Because we're just all over the, even in the, when you're talking about a, and I'm not going to call the name, Tammy will be proud. When you've got the largest denomination in the world who covers up sexual immorality with children, no justice at all. Except maybe somewhere down the line, they will pay you some money. And I'm not talking about, you know, we talked about these children. A lot of these children are abused. But to be abused by a minister, that is beyond terrible. That, when I'm telling you beyond terrible, because if you can't, to me, this is all truth within these pages. Other than just that little page that says New Testament. Okay? Because it's all the Testament. Amen? My thing is when somebody represents this and you can't trust them to represent this, guys, there's not a lot of hope. I'm building the case that this is what was happening during Samuel's day. Samuel was the man. Anything ever happened, they had to call Samuel because they're not trusting his sons, or they're not trusting anybody. They're needing Samuel, and they said, "Now you're old, give us a king, someone that we can trust. We need someone tangible that we can see that we can trust, because we know that the Father speaks to you." Now I know that there were some great priests, no doubt, of that day, that were in the Levitical priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, that was operating and was doing the right thing. But for a nation of people to call for a whole nation to change the way they were doing things is really something. Something's really bothering people for that to happen. Guys, all I'm saying today is we've been hollering for that forever. How many times is people been hollering for revival to take place? For years, revival to take place, revival to take place. Not just in one town. I'm talking about for a whole nation to catch on fire. I'm talking for a whole world to catch on fire. Now, we look at restoration. We know that he's restoring all things. But boy, there's a little bit here. It's a drip here, and it's a drip there. We're waiting on a tsunami to come in. That's what we desire, is for that tsunami. Before that can happen, he has to be able to trust. What's going to happen after the tsunami comes? Are they going to be like Samuel? Are they going to be like his sons? Are they going to set up? Because I'm just throwing it out there. Years ago, when people stand up, and I'm talking about televangelists, and I'm not against all televangelists. Understand that. I'm not against them. All right? But what I'm against is when some of them were in it for gain. It bothers me. May not bother you. And if it doesn't bother you, I'm proud. It bothers me when somebody can stand up and they have a ministry, and then from that ministry, they draw in hundreds of millions of dollars. They drive Bentleys. They have a 10,000 square foot house. They have 42 swimming pools, Lear jets, and believe in the Father for another one because he believed, because we got to get there faster. Now, I just want to ask you the question, where does that money come from? It comes from a lot of widows. It comes from people who are starving. They want so much of that word. They're starving. They're giving their Social Security checks to these people to keep this going. And you know what? They're not part of a congregation. Most of them are not part of a community. And when a widow's in need, when their air goes down or their heat goes down or something goes down, you're not calling them. He's not going to get in his Learjet and come over there and fix it. So what's happening is because the system as a whole has failed to the point to where they can't get it from the pulpit anymore. They're having to go to TV and get it. They're having to go to what is exciting, because you know what? I will tell you this. One thing I appreciate about the charismatic movement, it set me free. Amen. It set me free because I was learning some things. It got me out of that denomination. It got me out of to where I realized and recognized that there is a lot to this word. But what happened is the charismatic built a denomination of charismatic. Because the Father is restoring all things. There's a move that he was moving and setting. It's just some people stopped and said, you know what? I'm going to build my kingdom right here. It is not about me building a kingdom here. I want this place to grow. But you know what? We can only grow so much. Other than that, we got to grow 42 stories high because we don't have the land here. But what I'm saying, I want us, and you know what? If the Father wants us to grow and we can continue to grow, we still have room to grow here. But if we continue to grow, that's it. He will do what he needs to there. Amen? We always say this. If it's his will, it's his bill. That's the way it works. But the thing about it is if you get to a place to where we can't help one another, we in big trouble. We get to a place to where there's no family. People have issues. If you don't have any issues, I'm excited. But if people have issues and there's counsel, there's things that need to be taken care of, how would you like to go to a congregation where there's 50,000 people in it? Now, I mean, I would like to go just to see one time. But do you know what really I'm doing? I'm going to see. I'm not going to worship. I mean, I would go to worship because I'm sure that in their worship, they're going to have the best band. Everybody's going to be paid. It's going to be a concert. They got the light shows and all of that stuff, and they're doing, you know, they're doing all that stuff. And these are things that they'll do if there's a holy way to do that. I don't know if there's a sanctified way to do that, but I'm just saying. But, okay, it's about a show. And then you're going to get a feel-good message. You're going to have somebody who's not like me that has yellow teeth. He's going to have pearly whites because he's been able to fix everything with $20,000 cosmetics. Do you think that man's on that stage? Do you think he's mowing some widow's yard? Somebody testify to that. You see what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this is about communities. This is about Israel was a group of people that worked together. They elbowed together. They hollered at each other. They repented to each other. They did whatever they had to do to help people. But if you can't, if you got leadership that's taking bribes, or if you got leadership that is perverting justice, if you can't trust leadership to be able to tell you, according to this word, this is wrong, you can't do this. You know, we've had to make hard decisions in situations where people are not here today, but yet you can't do certain things to be able to walk together. You can't. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to throw that out there and just give you a finesse. But I'm just saying you have to do what's right in everything that we do. You just have to do what's right. Now, have I made all right decisions? Absolutely not. Has Tammy? Believe it or not, absolutely not. But the thing about it is we pray and we will repent. We will go to somebody or whatever. But all I'm saying is when we get into this message, and this is what Bill was talking about, This starts with us here. If we can't get our ducks in a row here, you can't be quacking over there. Amen. And that's what it means. We can't be quacking at somebody else unless we're waddling like we're supposed to waddle. Amen? You can't edit a waddle. So, I don't know what the message is going to be like, but this is an introduction. All right, Tammy, sower of the seed. In the sower of the seed, there was an area of the sower of the seed, and this is reality. And I'm going to let her read Mark 4, 18 and 19.
And others are the ones on whom seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
If you'll let that sink in, and just as we minister this, in the parable of the sower and the seed is his word. The seed is sown in different type people's lives. And in this case right here, this is the last one before we get to the good soil. But this one happened to fall on people where the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches is what it said. Deceitfulness of wealth, the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches is, guys, you tell me what millionaire is satisfied with what he has, that he has enough. I ain't found one yet. Because they're forever trying to build something and get more and get more and get more. Could you imagine? We're going to dream just for a moment. Can you imagine having $1 billion? Ain't no way. Because if you say, yeah, you're lying. Because I can't imagine that number. You know what I'm saying? I can't imagine that. A billion. I can relate more to a banana than I can to $1 billion. You know what I'm saying? How do you even fathom $1 billion? How do you even fathom that? What happens is there's this seed, the word of God, can go into people. And when it goes into people, what did Yeshua tell that guy? He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He said, follow the Torah. He didn't say, profess me. He just said, follow the Torah. He said, man, I have done that from my youth up. I got a mezuzah on my door. I got a Torah scroll on my tallit. I wear my kippah. I do all of these things. And he said he discerned something in him that he was a what? Wealthy man. He said, go sell what you got and follow me. And it said because he was a wealthy man, it said he turned and went away. What I'm saying is this. Ministry, whoever you are, talking to me first, okay? I'm just letting you know that. Talking to ministers first. If they got an issue with monetary things and with gain and trying to build their whatever they are, whatever number you have on a 401k or 411s, or Dennis can help us with all of these numbers to where we can shelter what we don't have. All I'm saying is when that becomes the focal point, you lose this heart to heart and you lose the trust of your people. The Levites didn't have anything. He gave them the cities, and he gave them to where they had a tithe system to help them because they had no what? Inheritance, because Yahweh was their inheritance. And do you know really who our inheritance? My inheritance is my Father. Our inheritance is our Father. That's who. If our mindset would be who our inheritance is, I'm not saying you can't have a retirement plan. I'm not saying that. And I encourage people to be prepared for the future. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying that, if that's above this relationship, then we got a problem. Because he'll tell you, all you're going to have is a purse with a hole in it. If you think that you're going to be able to set yourself, because it never works. When I was 20 years old, I had a goal to be a millionaire when I was 40. I had to go. I mean, I had a great job. When I tell you I had a great job, worked offshore, oil industry, great job. They had every plan in the world. And I worked 7 days on, 7 days off. And when I was 40, I was in more debt than I was when I was 20. And I said, what happened? I said, where's that millionaire? Because most of us come out of the egg when it's cracked and we're hatched. we buy into these systems that when we're young, we're going to grab this system. All you other people, you older people, y'all don't understand how it's done. But when they catch up to us, they realize I shouldn't have tried to reinvent the wheel. Saving money and being frugal, paying cash. Look, we bought into a system in the day, and I don't know why I'm going on here, but I'm going to do it. Maybe it's for the young people. Debt-free is the best way to be. This business of borrowing money so you can have good credit, woo. Do you think that Yahweh is concerned with your credit score? Do you think that you're going to have to fill out papers when you die and you get into the kingdom about your credit score if you're going to be able to get a loan? He's not going to loan you anything. He's going to give you. You're storing up treasures in heaven. And I've said this before, and I learned this the hard way. You can't give what you ain't got. I know that's bad English, but y'all used to bad English. But you can't give what you ain't got. Amen. You can't help somebody. When somebody's in need, somebody needs a pair of shoes, and when you're sitting here and you ain't got the cash to buy the shoes for somebody. So I'm just saying that we bought into a system to get a good number, and we had a great credit score. Yeah, we still do probably. Oh, yeah, because we was going to be growing in the rapture. I forgot. And we was going to leave all our debt to somebody. But anyway, well, being with Sean, we didn't know where he was going at that time. So anyway, so I'm just saying that where did we get all of this mentality from? For people from higher learning, people that's smarter than we are. And the body of Messiah has fallen for so much smarter than we are that we're all bricks. I was going to say dumb as bricks, but I don't want to say that. But my thing is in this portion of what we're learning here, is what are we dedicated to? We needed to be dedicated to Yahweh with all our spirit, soul, mind, and strength. And we need to be loving our neighbors ourselves. We need to be dedicated to the very basic things of Torah. We need to understand. I know that most of everybody in here, and this is what's so exciting. This is what's so exciting with the speakers that come in here. Because most of you in here know Torah. When they're talking about stuff and they're saying stuff, you know it. They understand you know it. They're not saying everybody's a scholar, but they know that you know. And you know right from wrong. And you know how to make proper judgments, even though it cuts you in your heart. I appreciated your testimony. Because you know what? It isn't easy. Whenever you try to do something right, everything in the world will try to come against you to say, you know what? Because you know what? Really in life, we were probably raised to take the easy road, to take the easy way out. Because I'm telling you, when I was raised, if something came up in the negative, it was the devil. The devil's after me. The devil's chasing me. The devil's running me. He's got a hold of my coattail. I need a Holy Ghost knife to cut it off, when really and truly Yahweh was trying to turn us and get us to where we would follow him. But we're blank because where did we get that from? Where did we learn every time something goes wrong in our life, it's the devil? Because the ministers told you that. They preached that. And if they couldn't get you excited about that, BJ, they just get you, and Richard, they just get you to play a little, get a little excited on them drums and get that spirit moving. They would pump up stuff to get it going. We're going to have church. That's what we'd say. We're going to have church. And you know how many times we would leave there, and I'd say, somebody asked, what did he minister on? I ain't got a clue. We had church. I don't know what the preacher said, but we had church. You know what I'm saying? I just know that somebody got slain in spirit. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. Is that not the truth? This awakening that we're having is, and this is why he's doing this, because you know what? We're learning the Torah. We're learning right from wrong. We're learning right from wrong. We're knowing what's right and wrong. And we're knowing, and you know what? He's doing it to me first. He's saying, you know what, big shot? The shrimp's got to go. You can't be picking bacon out of the beans. You can't be, I had to go through that. I had to go through my kicking and screaming. And Tammy had to put a pacifier in it. You're just going to do what the word says. You know what I'm saying? I run around, I had a whole drawer of spiritual pacifiers. You know, just put one on there if I didn't want to do something. But what I'm saying is so I had my time. We've had our time. And this is, but others that's going to come in, and it ain't going to go well. It just ain't going to go well. I mean, it's going to go well with us because we're doing better and we're doing better. But when people are learning the Torah and they're coming in, because they're going to default, you know what? I don't know about this. Man, it was going easy when I was in the church. It was going easy when I was in my denomination. I don't ever remember going through this much. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if we ever went through this much. I don't, this can't be God. You know, this can't be. But yes, it is. Because we've got so much, I had so much religion. I had so much junk on me. He had to take his spiritual fillet knife and start cutting off those skins. Because I had built up everything I thought was right. And he had to fillet me. And you know what? Being filleted ain't fun. Because now you're laid open, you're bare, you don't have any defense system. But that's what he wanted. He said, I need you to trust me that I know what I'm doing. And I'm telling you, everything that I was taught was not wrong. I want to let you know that. I learned that Yeshua was the Messiah. And I accepted him. I got water baptized in all three of them. And then I got baptized in Yeshua's name. I've been baptized Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Been baptized in the name of Jesus. I've been baptized in the name of Yahshua and Yeshua. I just want to make sure as I'm going, and if I find out there's another proper way to do it, I'll be baptized in that name too. I'm just to the place I want to do it right. I just wanted to do what's right. It's just my testimony where we've been. People are looking for people like Samuel. And I'm going to close with this because this is all just introduction to where we're going. People are looking for the Samuels. They're not looking for his sons because they can't trust his sons. There's enough of the sons out there that's caused a huge mess in the life of people. Can we be a Samuel? Can we be one that we could hear his voice to whenever the father was calling to him as a young boy? And he'd go in there and bother Eli. He'd say, I didn't call you, son. Yahweh's calling you. And next time you hear him say, Samuel, say, here I am. He named it, here I am. That's what we need to call. That's what we need to answer. He is calling a Samuel ministry out there. He is calling a Samuel ministry out there. In this day, in this hour, this is why the standing up now is all starting to come out. But the problem is before something happens, the sons has got to go. Can I just say that? The sons has got to go. So if ministry as a whole, I'm talking about the body of Messiah as a whole. Where did he say judgment's going to start? Thank you. It has to start in his house. If his house is corrupted, how are you going to help a dying world? If his house is corrupted, if Samuel and the boys are functioning in the house, how are you going to minister to a lost and dying world? You can't. Because who's going to be speaking to the people? People that's come out of addictions, people's come out of sin, and people's come out of trouble. They don't want to end up facing somebody that's going to, when they need righteous judgment in their life, somebody who's standing in front of them is going to pervert justice. You can't have that. So the Father is calling for Samuels, not his sons. Amen. Are we going to be the Samuels is what this message, and what are we dedicated to? This starts out this month for us, but this is really starting out a whole year for us, really. This is something that I believe that what the Father is doing. And if you want to read the parable of the sower of the seed, you might need to read that. Because, guys, that seed is deposited in us. Are we going to be on that good soil? Is there something in our life that's going on that's going to cause that seed, when it starts to grow, to be choked out or not to mature? Then you know what? We need to till that ground. We need to get to a place in our life. Is there some bad fertilizer out there? Is there some bad? Did we put something in our ground that doesn't supposed to be there? Is there some vice or is there something going on in our life that we're doing or whatever is in our life that's going to cause that seed not to mature and be in good ground? That is our job. Amen. Yahweh's the seed. He's given us His word enough. All the ingredients to go in that soil's in here. We need to make sure that it's good. And to know this, that everything that happens to you in the negative ain't the devil. But that the Father is working in our lives to make us stronger. How does that song go? What doesn't kill you makes you strong. And that's really what happens. Because you know what? When you're going to step out and fight the enemy, you can't be frail. And we're going to see this in here. When Jonathan and an armor bearer goes up against hundreds of thousands of people. We'll read the story next week if we get there. Think about it. Two people, they just walk away from the rest and say, you know what? We're going to go in here. If they say this, it's meant for us to take them all on. I'm like, I would have liked to know what he ate or what he smoked before he went over there. But he had total faith. He had total faith. He has a part of dedication that I hope I can have when that time comes. Amen? To where I can sit here and I can grab an armor bearer and just sit here and go against hundreds of thousands of the enemy that's camped out fixing to put a whooping on somebody and to turn around and say, well, you know what? We'll know. If the Father wants us to destroy them, us too, that's hard to say that. Then let them say this, and then if it's not meant, then let them say that. And then when he makes the statement, he said, well, Yahweh wants me and you to take them all on. Let's go. And then all of a sudden, like I said, we'll read that story, but that takes dedication to be able to put yourself in that position. David, me and Steve Hostetler was talking about this last night. David could sling a stone. Yahweh directed that stone to go between all of that garb Goliath had on to be able to get through that little window to hit him between the eyes. David's standing out there, and Goliath is all fixed up with all of this armor and all these big old things and a big old shield on his head with a little slit right there. David's good, but I don't know if he was that good. But Yahweh's that good. That if he tells you to stand before him because he said, you know what, you're not coming against Israel. You're not coming against me. You're coming against him. And I ain't going to stand for it. That's what's coming down today, guys. Amen.